This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan with our college football insider coach, Gary Barnett. Coach, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Stephen. How are things in KC?
Doing very well, and we're going to switch things up. Usually this segment starts off with me asking about Missouri, but today I will defer, and I will receive the ball in the second half. And so... Nate Buchanan will lead things off to talk about the red-hot Kansas Jayhawks coach. Nate's got the microphone.
Oh, boy.
How far we've come.
That's
how
right.
How far we've come, boy.
Yeah, well, you can say it that way.
I mean, times have changed in so many ways, Coach, but the first one is, and I started having this thought last week. I feel like after this past weekend, there's almost no question about it. For all the years Stephen and I have been talking Kansas, Kansas State, and Missouri, I can't believe this has ever been the case. By far the best quarterback is in Lawrence right now. Is that fair to say, or is
absolutely.
That too early to say?
It's absolutely fair to say. I watched that game. In fact, I taped it and watched it again last night, and that kid's a baller, man. He is a football playing Jesse, and he's. And what they do with him with the offense just makes it that much harder to find him, and it's a perfect combination for that young lad and Lance's offense, and they cause you all sorts of problems. If you are not really disciplined with your eyes, you are going to lose that football in there, and you don't want to lose it with him still having it in his hand. So he's a threat all the time, and he's elusive. He just seems to be a great football player.
And for the second straight weekend, Kansas goes on the road, and they're immediately down 14-0, just like they were in West Virginia. And just like they did in West Virginia, they came back and pretty much bossed the game the rest of the way, even with the weather delay. Outside of the quarterback, when you said you watched that team back, I'm really excited to actually hear this. What do you think is working so well for Kansas? What impresses you the most? If you were a coach and you had to get ready to play them, what impresses you the most about them right now?
Well, I tell you, I think a combination of how good they are up front on both sides of the ball. You know, it's hard to get good up front on both sides the way they've done it. Now, you got to have a quarterback to have a chance, no question, but – you look at Bostic, the left tackle, and you watch the rest of those guys, they really like playing the game. At least that's what I see. And the same thing on defense. And so when you can put people out there that can play on the offensive and defensive lines and the linebacker level, then you've got a chance, man. And they do. I mean, I think they're really impressed. They don't make a lot of mistakes. I mean, Houston had, 10 penalties, and it killed them. Absolutely killed them. But when you come, like you mentioned, Nate, when you get down by 14 and it doesn't bother you and you just come back the way they did, especially against Houston. I didn't see the other game, but I saw the Houston game. It didn't bother them. I mean, that quarterback is confident. That whole coaching staff appears to be confident. and they got guys who really want to play and have fun playing. And so it's pretty much just like just the team you always want to coach.
And it was like so – it was such a contrast when you're watching Houston wide receivers, like, get in fights on the sideline and stuff, right? Like, to me, it was just like, man, Kansas, they don't commit penalties. They don't have procedural penalties, especially considering all of the motion they run before every snap. You talked about, you know, all the misdirection, and I'm pretty impressed that they've been able to do all that without as many mistakes. And meanwhile, you're watching Houston, they just seem like they were imploding at the same time. What was your thought on that part of the game?
Well, one team looked very disciplined, one team did not look disciplined, and Houston's had a history of that. But I don't think Kansas had a penalty to the fourth quarter, if I'm remembering correctly, and even then it was a simple one. But, I think Houston's just prone to doing that, and you could see it on Dana Holgorsen's face that he's just fed up with these dumb penalties. And when they start fighting amongst themselves, you sort of look to yourself and go, ah, we got them. And that's sort of what it looked like when I reviewed it again last night.
Any other questions, Nate?
Well, I'll just fast forward to Duke now, because they don't look like a team that's in fighting. They're 3-0 as well. And all of a sudden, Duke, Kansas in football is a really good-looking game at 11 o'clock on Saturday, and I'm curious what kind of a challenge you think Duke will be for Kansas.
Yeah, I think this is a really good game for both these two teams. They're almost identical. You know, they play the same style of ball. They're a little more defensive-oriented. Kansas puts a few more points on the board, but Duke's done their share at 37 points a game. So, it's an 8.5-point spread for Kansas, which – we need to take a picture of this, because we haven't seen this for a while, since that spring game. So, I don't know. Mike Elko is a really good defensive coordinator and good defensive coach. I would be surprised if Kansas wins by 8.5. But the way they're playing and playing at home with, it's too bad you didn't get game day. But I believe Kansas wins this game. I don't know if 8.5. That might be too many, I think, on the spread, but I don't do that sort of stuff. We'll let Marco do that.
Yeah, he'll do it. I mean, there's no question about that. All right, let's move on to the next topic. Well, Missouri beat Abilene Christian 34-17, although it was more of a struggle than they had hoped, but they won. And people have questioned, hey, why isn't Luther Burden at least the punt returner? He was considered one of, if not the best, punt returners in St. Louis High School football history. They put him at punt returner. First one he touches, he takes over 70 yards to the house. And so that'll be hopefully a way that Mizzou can be a little bit more dynamic through special teams and Luther Burden getting punt returns. But now they got to take on Auburn. It's at Auburn, and we find out that Auburn's starting quarterback, according to one of their beat reporters, Tom Green, said that he will not be available for the SEC opener this weekend against Missouri due to a shoulder injury. Unclear if it'll keep him out beyond this weekend. So it looks like they'll be without their starting quarterback, TJ Finley. It's been a struggle for Auburn as well, and they're coming off a loss to Penn State. And for Missouri, if they want to somehow figure out the math to get to 6 wins in a bowl game, I find it very, very unlikely that they can do it without winning this game. So this is, and then they got Georgia coming up, and at Florida, it gets tougher from here. What do you think of Mizzou and their chances of being competitive at Auburn? They are 7-point underdogs.
Well, there's a couple things working here. One, having Finley out, I think that probably helps you because he's such a big, strong player. But, Missouri's penalties are killing them. They got to quit doing that stuff. And but of all the times, man, to go down to Auburn and have a legitimate chance to win the first SEC game out of the bottle, this is it, because these two teams stack up pretty well. And I think a lot of this is going to be an intangible. The intangible is going to play a big role in this game, because I think that Auburn's fighting for or against their head coach. And, if they're really trying to save his job, I think that they'll come out with their hair on fire. And if they don't feel that way, then Missouri's going to have a real chance to win this game. And so it's a perfect opportunity because they're really very similar all the way. And I don't believe a lot in stats at this point in time, but I think after the fourth game I do, and this isn't quite there, but you look at both the teams that they play, it's pretty close. And other than Penn State, Missouri hasn't played anybody like Penn State. But the San Jose States and the Mercers of the world or whoever, you know, you don't brag about winning those games. So this is a great opportunity. Quarterback for Missouri's got to play better and more consistent. You're right, they've got to get Luther Burden the ball. And if he wants a venue to make his name known to a lot of people, this would be it, because that's a big house, big venue, and the SEC playing down there in Alabama at Auburn is a big deal. So got a big chance right here.
And for me, and this might be oversimplifying things, but it just seems hugely important to get off to a fast start for both teams, because let's say, you know, Mizzou goes down there and has a big punt return or somehow gets up early 10-0 or something like that. You can see either team being somewhat fragile psychologically, and if they get behind early, you can imagine down there, and you talked about it, you know, that it's kind of up in the air if they're fighting for or against that coach. If they got down earlier, things didn't go their way right off the bat, that crowd might turn on them, and things might start to get ugly, you know. And for Missouri, they just gotta have something good happen early on, and gotta have a reason to believe. And so, don't you think the early part of that game, to see who can just have some good things happen to give them confidence, that's important in this matchup?
Well, yes, but that's what Houston said last week when they played Kansas. It's good to get off to a fast start. You can't control that. You know, there's no way. I mean, and you can tell your guys, hey, it's good to get off to a fast start. But you know what's really good? To finish with a win. And that means playing in the fourth quarter. So you just can't control whether you get off to a fast start. You can say, well, you throw the ball more down the field. Okay, but what if it's picked? You know, you're incomplete. Now you're punting in your first series, giving them good field position. It's just too hard to predict. And so it's almost, when you plan like that, it's best to be as fundamental as you can early on in the going, and not take a lot of chances. So it just depends, Stephen. It's how you match up and what kind of breaks you get early in the game as to whether you get able to play well early in the first quarter or the first half. So it's going to be more important how they play in the fourth quarter and the second half than probably the first half.
Okay, last question for you, and then Nate will move on to Kansas State. How hard is it to for a head coach to be his own offensive coordinator and call plays?
Well, I think it's probably harder in college than the NFL, but don't ask Hackett at the Broncos about that. I think he's just too excited to be a head coach, and he's, you know, his depends are leaking or something. But
you know, because some people have said Drinkwitz should have an offensive coordinator since he's inexperienced as a head coach, and he's not gone that way. He's his own offensive coordinator, and so that's been a criticism. So I just thought I'd ask you, is that a legitimate criticism?
You know, it's funny. I whenever anybody takes a new job and they've been a defensive coordinator, an offensive coordinator, I always advise them not to give it up too early, because in this business, if you want to move on to the next job, you're going to have to move on as a guru, either offensive guru or defensive guru. So, you know, Lincoln Riley is a perfect example. When you establish yourself as a really good play caller, you know, that's the way you're viewed. And when people make a change and want to hire somebody, they want somebody, they don't want to hire a manager, you know, or a CEO. They want to hire a guru. Offensively or defensively, Venables is a perfect example. So, I don't know. I always advise them, if they can stay with calling plays, they should. But you get to a point where people think it holds you back, but you know if it holds you back or not. And so, if you look inside and say, hey, you know what, I do need to turn this over, then you need to turn it over. But it's hard to relinquish that because you've been doing it most of your life.
Well, that kind of transitions a little bit over to the K-State team because they've got an offensive coordinator in Colin Klein who probably is dealing with his first real speed bump on the job after that 17-10 loss against Tulane, in which K-State, I believe, went 3-for-15, if I remember correctly, on third downs, and they went 1-of-5 on fourth downs in this game. And Coach, you know, the talk about Adrian Martinez and what he's going to be at K-State, he looks like a guy that's heard all the chatter about how, yeah, he made big plays at Nebraska, but he made big mistakes because he averaged only 4.8 yards per attempt in the Tulane game. And afterwards, Chris Klieman said he's got to cut it loose. If he makes a mistake, he makes a mistake. Looks like they kind of want him to get back to being a little more aggressive. What was your takeaway from K-State's struggles offensively in that game and that balancing act that they're trying to strike with Adrian Martinez right now?
Well, they were 2-of-15, but they missed two really fourth and shorts that were critical. And what I would do, I'd go back and I'd look at Colin Klein's record. You know, how did he play? Because he's calling the plays. Did he hold things back? Did he let it go? And that may have something to do with it. But, yeah, they're so conservative right now. And I agree. We talked about it with Adrian Martinez that he's so conscious of not making a mistake that he's playing like a different player. And so it's funny that all of a sudden now they want him to cut it loose, because when he wants to cut it loose, now that dude can cut it loose. So I agree with that analysis that he does need to cut it loose to become the threat that he has been, because – Kansas State, you know, if they're just one-dimensional with Deuce, then they're going to struggle, you know. And so, I mean, this week they've got a big test. And Martinez has played in this game. He's played against OU. So he knows that team a little bit. But he does have to cut it loose, and I think, for K-State to keep growing.
And this Oklahoma team that they're going to face, we were talking, of course, with our Oklahoma resident, Todd Lebo. He feels defensively they're a different animal now that Brent Venables is there. Do you feel that way? I mean, obviously they just beat up on Nebraska. I don't know what we take from that, but are you already seeing the fingerprints of a better defensive team with him at the helm?
No question, and it always happens that way. But, yeah, Nebraska is actually a pretty doggone good offensive team, and they just struggle on defense. But so yeah, for them to just shut them down after the first touchdown, and every discussion I've heard about Oklahoma from the pundits and the guys who know defense, absolutely agree with you that it's with Venables, they're a different animal out there defensively than they have been. And the only thing I'd say is just think how good they would have been if they had Lincoln Riley and Venables. So none of us want that. But, yeah, I think they are different. And I think right now they're clearly the best team in the Big 12.
All right, Coach, let's wrap up and get your official picks. You know, Marco is very thorough, and so he wants to make sure he's got this right. Kansas is favored by 7.5. You think Kansas will win, but do you think they will win by more than 7.5?
I don't think you can. I think that's a hard call to make because Duke is good. They're undefeated. Now, they haven't played everybody good, but they, you know, they're still good. I think it's a hard bet to take 8.5 in Kansas. Give up 7.5, yeah, and take Kansas. I do like them to win, though.
What about Oklahoma favored by 13 over K-State?
I think it's. I think I'd take Oklahoma.
What about Baylor at Iowa State? Iowa State's favored by a field goal.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, I don't know if you watch Baylor BYU, but I watched them, and I don't know, playing at Iowa State, that's a tough place to play. This was a hard one for me to pick. I think I would take Iowa State. I thought, yeah, that's right, they're favored by 2.5 or something, so. I think Iowa State, but I think that's a hard pick. And if you felt differently about it, I think that's the way you ought to go.
What do you think about Texas going to Lubbock and being favored by 6.5?
I think I'd take Texas. Okay. The points. Give the points.
Is 7 points enough for Mizzou at Auburn, or will Auburn beat them by more than that?
Boy, that one is so hard to tell because you don't know who's going to show up for Auburn, and you're either betting your conscience or you're betting your heart in this game. But I think Missouri's got to play better, and I don't know if they're going to play better on the road. I sort of like Auburn here.
Tennessee is getting 10.5 against Florida. This should be a very interesting game in Knoxville. What do you think happens here?
I'm taking Tennessee.
Mm. Man, oh, man, they look good, don't they?
They do.
Good old Rocky Top.
There he is. There's Nate Buchady. What about, Arkansas got a scare from Bobby Petrino in Missouri State, but they survived, and now they go to Texas A&M. They beat Miami. A&M's favored by 1.5. Arkansas at what's in Arlington at AT&T Stadium. What do you make of that matchup?
Well, I think maybe this is the best game of the week, or at least one of the best games of the week, and I'm eager to watch this game. I thought A&M looked really good last week with four starters out on defense. You know, they were grown men out there playing, I thought. A&M at Arlington, you know, it's sort of split. They're about the same distance from both schools, so it's one of those crowds where it should be 50-50. You know, I like Sam Pittman in this game, so I'm going with Arkansas.
The other matchup between ranked schools, number 5 Clemson at number 21 Wake Forest, and Clemson's favored by a touchdown. Do you think Wake Forest can pull the upset?
I don't think so. I think Clemson's got it.
One final question. Arizona State lets Herm Edwards go. What kind of job is? I know they've got a lot of issues, but what kind of job is Arizona State? How attractive should that opening be?
It's one of those jobs that, from the outside, everybody looks at it and goes, "That should be a great job." But once you get there, it's the word I would use. It's doesn't have a soul. It's just it's in a pretty place and this and that. But, you know, you don't want to bring recruits in July, I'll guarantee you. They don't want to get off that plane. And there's advantages and disadvantages to that weather. But it's one of those places that's never quite got it done. Now, back when, you know, in the old days, when they had the old tough guy there, they were pretty good. They were a track team.
And then Jake Plummer at quarterback.
Yep, they were a track team, but they haven't been able to do that since. And I think what's happened is the rest of the Pac-12 has gotten better. And so it just depends on who gets that job, I think. But it is tougher than you would think it is.
Coach, great information as always. We appreciate your time, and we will talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. Have a great one.
That is Coach Gary Barnett, who says Arizona State has no soul as a football program, so that's could be an issue.
The
could
Sun
be,
Devils.
Right, they could be a problem. They will take your soul. We will be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's time to find out who's got this. Presented by Mike DePasquale and the law offices of DePasquale Moore.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Marco Marquez on this Wednesday, September 21st, 2022. We're now joined by Mike DePasquale. Mike's got this. What's up, Mike? How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Steven, Nate, Marco, everyone?
It's Kansas City and Buffalo and everyone else. Is that correct?
That's what it's looking like, isn't it? But it's early in the season. You guys are all pros. I'm not getting overconfident for either team.
Get overconfident.
Not doing it. You're not going to bait me today, Stephen.
Buffalo, I mean, people can't even, like, the Buffalo's just working. I mean, it's just like it's a joke. It's like they're playing a non-con in college. I mean, what the hell?
It was like KU versus Tennessee Tech the other day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's what Tennessee looked like. It looked pretty bad.
I mean, bad. If you're not going to be overconfident now, then when? Mike, come on.
I keep my cards close to my vest. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep it that way.
Do you are you planning anything special for the upcoming Chiefs Buffalo game? How will you handle that situation? Because you got to start planning now. This is a big deal.
So, am I planning anything special? No, my son is. He wants to go to the game. I'll probably go. I've told you guys before, though. You know, I was born in Buffalo. I grew up a Bills fan. Then I moved to Kansas, and the Bills kind of fell out of favor. And then I became a Chiefs fan, and now I'm a fan of both. I'll tell you what, it really stinks. It's way more fun when I can just pick one of my favorite teams.
I want you to wear one of those jerseys that's half Buffalo, split. Half Kansas City, and house divided. Will you do that? Will you consider that?
Yeah, in fact, I just cut up a couple jerseys, and my wife's going to be sewing them together because she loves to sew.
Are you serious? Are you going to do it?
No.
Oh, come on!
My wife can't even iron a shirt. There's no sewing going on here.
I bet someone we could get it done. I'd like to see that. And then they put you on. Look at this guy in the crowd. He loves them both.
See, the good thing is if you do it, you have two different jerseys. Your wife could wear one and you could wear
one.
That's actually probably what we'll do. You know, we do wear jerseys to games, both of us, when we go. That's how we do it.
I like that.
If I couldn't pay her to put a jersey on.
See, you could have like a big tailgate and like one half's eating buffalo wings, the other half's eating burnt ends. Marco, I'm coming up with so many great ideas here for this
thing.
That's
a dang good idea.
Yeah, well, hell's breaking loose here.
I'm hungry now, too.
Well, me too. All right, well, you're home. You can get something. All I have here is oatmeal and Marco. Okay, let's get to some of these picks.
We want to go over the results from last week.
Yeah, how did we do last? How did you guys do last week?
Yeah, it was a tough one for Mike.
Well,
but remember, some of my bets are emotional hedges.
Right.
So,
yep. And that worked out for you because
it does, and it's going to keep working out because I'm going to keep emotionally hedging.
Mike and I both had the Sooners minus the points. We covered that one fairly easily over Nebraska. Mike did have Houston, though, as they were favored by 10 against Kansas. I had Kansas, so I won that one. And then with the Chiefs and Chargers, Mike had the Chiefs minus 4 points, and I had the Chargers, so I won that one. So I went 3-0, and Mike went 1-2.
Wow!
It's all right for the kids.
Yeah,
it is for the kids. You know, that's right. The main thing.
Yes.
Are we ready for this week?
I'm born ready for this week.
So we had so many interesting matchups. We have to do four games, and so we'll give you another chance to make some noise in the standings. All right.
Make some hay.
Okay, so we'll go in order of. How attractive these games are. We'll start off with Mizzou and Auburn. Mizzou's going to Auburn. Mizzou's getting a touchdown, and we find out that Auburn's starting quarterback is going to be out with a shoulder injury. And so Auburn's coming off getting their asses handed to them by Penn State. Mizzou, for some reason, was in a competitive game with Abilene Christian, but they won that game. What happens? Mizzou at Auburn.
I like Mizzou. This is a big game for Coach Drinkwitz. So I know what they're going to say every game is, but this is the type of game, if he wins it, he's probably good for the end of next season. He loses it, he's going to have to go on a tear. I like Mizzou. They didn't play good against K-State. That happens. But I think they're going to get back on track here.
Nate Buchady.
I'll take Auburn.
Shut up.
Avowed Mizzou hater, Nate Buchady.
Yeah, that's the truth. You know?
I'm just going off what I've seen so far this year.
Shut up, dummy.
Let's move on then. Let's get to the next game. Oh boy, this look. One bad game. Maybe K-State had one bad game again, and it was against Tulane. And Willie Fritz, by the way.
Yeah.
Willie Fritz. Say something about Willie Fritz.
He dialed up an amazing game. He coached my buddy Dan Moon, and I thought he was going to be KU's coach for many years. And you're having a heck of a season, guys. I'm not going to say what I'm thinking, but he's a good coach.
Say what you're thinking.
If Coach Leipold left,
he'd
be high on the list.
Oh. Are you hearing something?
Talk about that right now.
If he's hearing something, he can talk about whatever he wants.
And I'm reading all these articles. Everybody keeps sending me articles about the top three Nebraska targets.
You talk to movers and shakers. You're a mover and shaker. Are you hearing something, Mike DePasquale?
I'm hearing absolutely nothing, but I don't think Coach Leipold's leaving.
All right. But Nebraska wants him, I bet.
I don't think it's like
they
him
should,
to leave a project this unfinished. If he was a couple years into this and had the team up and running and everything, I think it's a different thing. I think it's a guy like that. He told us yesterday on the show, everybody likes a hill to climb. And I think he said that's the reason the whole staff, he said that's the reason that whole staff wanted to go to Kansas. They wanted to go do something that people said couldn't be done. And I don't think they're going to, like, walk away in the middle of starting that project.
Can I tell you something? Nebraska's got a big-ass hill right now, buddy.
Oh, I know. That's the thing that scares
me. They also got a hill, though, that, like, I don't know if I want to climb it because if you don't go 10-2 and get them back to the 90s, which isn't happening, I'm sorry, Nebraska fans. I love Nebraska. The world's changed. The college football landscape's changed.
If you climb that hill, if you climb that hill with an 8-4, they might push you down that hill and say, "That's not you didn't climb the hill fast enough. We don't like it." But okay, so there, K-State, they lost to Tulane and Willie Fritz, but they've been a thorn in Oklahoma's side in the past. K-State at Oklahoma, prime time on Fox. Oklahoma favored by 13. We'll let Nate Bucati go first.
All right, I'm going K-State here,
and
I'll take the points, and there's a couple reasons why. Number one, I feel like there's probably typically an overreaction to what happened to K-State in the Tulane game and what Oklahoma did to a dysfunctional Nebraska team. The other thing is, I think his X factor is Brent Venables going up against his former team. And I think that can cause problems sometimes. Lon Kruger always struggled against K-State. Bill Self always seems to struggle down at Oklahoma State. Now, I know this is a home game for Oklahoma, right? But I just feel like K-State's going to have a little bounce back, and I feel like, you know, it's going to be a weird one for Brent Venables. So I think Oklahoma wins, but K-State keeps it a little closer.
I got it. I'm with Nate. I'm a Kansan, so I'm with Nate.
All right. So, I mean, 13. You know, they can still lose by 10, and you guys would be right, and we'll see.
Well, they can win by 10.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Then
they could.
Really right.
There it is. There you go. All right. Next up, Duke and Kansas, which is they've been hellacious basketball games in the past. Now it's football, and Kansas. Both teams are undefeated, and Kansas has one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the nation. And Kansas is favored by 7.5. And if they win, they'll be 4-0. And they'll be the talk of the football nation. Nate Bucati can go first.
Well, I have placed bets on Kansas on DraftKings each of the first 3 weeks of this season. And I felt pretty good about all of them. And obviously won all the – I should have bet them straight up instead of with the points. I think this is when the people that are gambling are finally paying attention to Kansas now. I think nobody was paying attention to what was going on in Kansas. They thought they were just a cute story for the first 3 weeks of this season. And now I think, okay, wait a second. Everybody's like, wait a second, what's going on in Lawrence? And they're paying attention. And so I'm not going to bet this one on DraftKings, I'll tell you that much. Mm. Because it's gone from KU being double-digit underdogs in each of the last two games to 7.5-point favorites. And I think Kansas is going to win. I don't know if they're going to win by more than a touchdown. So
you have little faith.
Man, I'm going to stick with it, though. I'm going to stick with Kansas. I've been going Kansas all year. I'll go Kansas again. But I'm a little more nervous because I think that the gambling lines have actually had caught up to what KU is, which is actually a really good football team now.
And the game is 11 a.m. on FS1, but Duke is no stranger to be on TV, you know?
Certainly Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
What do you say?
They're coming from the East Coast, so it'll be like noon their body clock time.
All right. What do you say, Mike? It's Kansas favored by 7.5.
I'm publicly going to bet, if I was betting Duke, just keep with my, you know, what I've been doing, betting against Kansas seems to be working, so I'm going to do that. Works for Kansas winning. But deep down inside, man, I can see Lawrence popping on a beautiful Saturday after a win, gallivanting amongst the wheel, the hawk, the bull, all of it. I would love to do it, but I have to go put on a coaching masterpiece at 3 p.m. on Saturday, which is the worst possible time to coach a game. I even thought about calling the opposing coach and seeing if we can move it, but I didn't do that. So, yeah, I'm taking Duke, but I think KU's going to do it.
So both you guys are taking Duke? with these
No, I'm saying KU.
Oh, you're saying KU. Okay.
I'm the emotional hedge of Duke, but yes.
Well, but I don't feel nearly as good about this pick as I did the last couple weeks because KU, like I said, I think that line's a good line, you know. Whereas the last couple weeks, I'm like they don't realize that Kansas actually has a good team now.
Huh? You both are giving Duke a lot of respect here.
Is there a guy named Duke Fry in the building?
Not that Duke.
Well, 3-0.
Stop it. All right. Finally, Chiefs at the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts tied the Texans. And they got shut out by the Jags. It looks like they have a very old man at quarterback that could be done with his one touchdown and four interceptions. But we'll see. Does he have a big game in him? No Willie Gay, no Trent McDuffie. So the Chiefs defense down two starters. Will it matter? What's the latest line here? I want the latest, freshest line for this. What do we got, Marco? What is it for Chiefs and Colts?
Hold on. DraftKings has to read my face really quick.
All right. I want to make sure it's current. Is it 7 or 6.5? I got 6 now. Things are moving. We'll go with that.
I'm showing 6.5 on DraftKings.
Okay, 6.5. Mike DePasquale, Chiefs favored by 6.5.
Time for some guys to step up on D. That's what happens in the NFL. Guys are going to slide right into McDuffie and Willie's role. And Chiefs, like you said, the Colts look. Their offense looks bad. Looks real bad.
Nate Ducati.
Take a Chiefs as well. I do think the Colts are gonna probably put out their best effort that they've had so far this year, which isn't saying much.
Wow. Yeah.
But they could
go out and score 10 points. That's the best we've seen. Looking good. All right. Yeah. Well, you got the Chiefs?
Yeah, I'd take the Chiefs.
All right. Those are the picks. And what about the Metro matchup? What's the Metro matchup for this week, Mike?
We got Wamego, Kansas coming in, Pride of Pottawatomie County. Thorn in the side of friend of A-10 and friend of me, Ron Buck, who's from Marysville. They're coming in. They're playing KC Washington, home of Daryl Stuckey, Earl Watson. It's going to be a tough one. I was doing my research this morning. It looks like Wamego is number 4 in the state. So KC Washington, Coach Cam, they're going to have to dial up a defensive masterpiece. But, you know, they're coming into Kansas City. Let's send them back to Pottawatomie with an L. Either way, though, good event. Get out there if you can. They got a nice running back out of Washington. Man, I wouldn't want to tackle that guy. I met him, and I said, okay, this guy's a real deal.
All right, and we'll talk more with Deion Clisso about that Metro matchup with PrepsKC.com on Friday. Mike, tell people if they need your assistance, how can they get a hold of you?
Mike's.gotthis.com.
Mike's.gotthis.com. Mike, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it, and good luck on your picks.
Thanks, gentlemen. Have a great weekend, okay?
All right, you do the same thing. We'll be back after this on WHP. Fantastic song. Tremendous performance every time by Billy Joel. And I've had a chance to see him live. I believe I've seen him double digits live. I may have seen him live more than any other artist ever. I know I saw him like 6 or 7 times with my mom. I took Richie to see him. I took my family to see him when he was at Kauffman, which was great. And whenever you hear that that opening, the drums, like, oh yeah, what a great song. Crank that up again.
You grew up in the uptown.
I grew up in Northeast, and I married a Van Horn girl, and I changed the words and sing this to Susan because I love her. Let's hear a quote, since we talked some college football recently. Let's hear from Eli Drinkwitz. All right. Eli Drinkwitz talks about this game coming up against Auburn. He says, the focus this week is not on Auburn. What?
With all due respect, the challenge is really internal for us. How much do we improve this week? How much better can we get? And really all of our focus is on that. We need to get better really in all three phases at the fundamentals, at blocking on the perimeter, on catching the football, on delivering the football on time, on defense, our tackling angles, staying on top of routes, not turning back and getting our eyes to the quarterback too soon on deep balls, making sure we have ball disruption plays, on special teams covering kicks, making sure that we read hold up versus rush on our punt team, making the right decision as a returner. And so really our team's attitude and our focus is that's all within our control, and that's what we're focused on this week.
Hey, congratulations to Jalen Watson, AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Week one, Mahomes, AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Week two, Jalen Watson, AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Bada bing, bada boom. Back at this on WHB.